go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! The hour, and looky here, another week is underway on the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you'll find the listen live button. That's where you'll find the access to the chat room. It's free. It's easy. Come on in. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Just click on chat room. Maybe on your way past, you might click on contribute or click on the PayPal button, because we ended the week okay last week. Now we just got to stay even. And program announcement, I now know what the plans and arrangements are, so we're going to be traveling to the memorial service later this week. So that means no programs Thursday and Friday. My apologies, but this is kind of important. And, you know, if nothing else, I think we understand that family does come first here at the Horn. Yeah, we do the real family values, not those right-wing, phony, baloney, Christian fundamentalist, evangelical family values. So we're going to be traveling Thursday and Friday. And that means that fundraising this week has to be sort of concentrated. So instead of the usual usual $150 a night we're looking for, we're looking to raise $250 this evening. If you want to kick in and start a challenge or something like that, it is much appreciated. Folks like to know that they're... Well, the Horn family likes to know that we're working together. And so we're looking for $250 tonight, $250 tomorrow, and $250 on Wednesday, and that'll take care of this week's fundraising. So we know that. It's more in Monday, and I know it. And I've got an announcement. You hear this? Yeah. That's a happy noise. That's a dial tone. It appears that the phone system, through much trial and error and probably no small amount of incompetence, has been fixed. So, yippee. We're looking forward to the phone system working as advertised. We can go back to the usual, I think, 304-658-3333 number when we get to the conversation radio part of the program. Hooray, hooray, hooray. Now, more on Monday. Yeah. I'd play the music, but, you know, dang. Most of you who follow my Twitter feed, at Bob Kincaid, or those of you who follow, my, Facebook page, Bob Kincaid, BOBKINCAID. Follow on Twitter, follow on Facebook. Rousing discussion over the course of the weekend regarding firearms. My position proved once again correct by news out of Nevada today, in which somebody decided to protect freedom and assert their Second Amendment rights by gunning down a teacher and wounding two students. Last I checked. Some of this crap is beginning to hit a little too close to home, and I'm getting a little tired of the right wing teabagging babies who insist that having a gun somehow makes them a little bit more patriotic than the rest of us. And like I said, if you followed my Facebook and my Twitter account, you would have seen over the weekend. Well, I told you why I was playing hooky on Friday. It's not something I look forward to. I'm not trying to find... I like nice, normal, regular, start Monday, end Friday broadcast weeks. I really, really do. Because You know, beginning on Monday and ending on Friday just kind of pulls the whole room together, doesn't it? But we played hooky on Friday because our youngest, the Doodle, the beautiful, the talented, the witty Doodle, was one of her junior class's homecoming princesses, for which we were duly proud. And she was lovely. Had a little banner, a little sash. Baldric? Baldric? Is that another word for? Yeah. Because I think a sash actually goes around the waist. A baldric goes over the shoulder. But let's not stand upon ceremony. Or confuse the matter, for that matter. I may be entirely wrong, and I'll probably get 6 dozen emails in the next 3 minutes. And God damn it, Bob, it's not a baldric. That's probably something made with gin and a cocktail on you. No, that's a Gibson. Anyway. So we went over to watch the homecoming festivities. It was a very, very crisp autumn night over in the low knee hills of West Virginia as the hills fade toward the Ohio River. And we were all set to go to the football game. Cool, crisp air. Had the whole family with us. Three daughters, and Ferg, our son, Agnes was along, of course. Pulled into the parking lot, and you know, when you pull into the parking lot, you got to sort of check, and okay, who's got it? Do we have a jacket? No, nobody remembered a jacket in autumn. We're going to freeze. Transitioning from summer into autumn into winter is tough around here. Kind of reminded me I've got to go out and buy propane bottles real soon. We're going to start on that habit again. Eesh. So, you know, Agnes is getting her purse, and Margie's getting her purse, and Ferg is, you know, doing Ferg stuff. And then he says, hey, look at the car next to us. And we all kind of surreptitiously look, because you don't want to get caught looking or anything. And we proceed to watch this guy getting out of his truck. Strap a concealed pistol on him and cover it up with his jacket and take his little children with him into the stadium. Maybe child, maybe not children, maybe just child. I really can't remember whether it was child or children because we were too busy staring at the engine of death that this guy was concealing inside the belt line of his pants. Really took the starch out of most of the evening for me. So we toddle up, we pay our way in, yada, yada, yada. We go up, we find a seat with a nice, clear camera view, brought the camera bag, all of that stuff with us. And then noticed that our friend Pistol Packin' Pete was something less than 20 feet away from us. And then just, you know, I've had notes from, for instance, our buddy Mark, who originally was in Florida, but I think he sent us a note the other night saying that he was going to watch the Cardinals put paid to the L.A. Dodgers in St. Louis the other evening, which I think he did, and they certainly did. 9-0, that was convincing. But he has advised me in the past, you know, don't be so free and easy about announcing your whereabouts and your comings and goings, and be cognizant of which route you take, and don't always take the same route to and from somewhere. And I take all that into account, and part of that is being aware of one's surroundings, and part of one's being aware of one's surroundings is knowing where the Second Amendment freedom protecting the Constitution loving teabagger. Well, I don't know that it was a teabagger. I mean, I can't say that. I didn't see a Gadsden flag on the truck. But where the armed people are relative to you. Now, I should note this was a football tilt between a pair of absolute, no kidding, hands around each other's throats rivals. And so, you know, Pistol Pack and Pete may well have thought that the other side, you know, was bringing the heat, too. Jesus. I guess it happens other places, but wow. Feel free at any time, if you're in the international audience, to drop in the obligatory note saying, you know, goddamn, Bob, you people are uncivilized. And yes, we are. We're so paranoid that we got to take our goons with us to go and watch a football game, a high school football game. Didn't care much about the football game. I don't even know what the records of the two teams were, and hell, I'm kind of a football fan. But I do know that these two teams are known for playing rough and nasty with each other. It got one-sided real quick, and that's never a good sign. It was 38-6 at the half for the home team. And I watched one kid on punt coverage. The guy on the wing, out in the flat, to just sprint down and make the tackle. And there was a kid about twice his size who, instead of blocking him and holding him up, which is what you try to keep him from getting down the field as fast as you want to, decided that it was just going to be the thriller in Manila, and just cold cocked the kid right in front of a ref. First down. I think the visiting team had something like 3 personal fouls and an unsportsmanlike conduct before the half was out, and they were like that. You kick them while they're down. You punch him, I'll kick him. You knock him down, I'll stomp him. That kind of stuff. But for the most part, I spent that entire half of football just sort of keeping out of the corner of my eye, keeping account on the of the whereabouts of the awful gun owner, who at any moment in time, because that's the way it is with lawful gun owners, they go from lawful to awful in no time flat. In less. Whatever amount of time it takes to squeeze a trigger is how long it takes for a lawful gun owner to go to transform into an awful gun owner. And with my entire family there, I felt like it was at least my obligation to try to keep the guy in sight and figure, okay, if he decides to transform from lawful into awful, well, I'm going to protect my family. The only way I knew how. Not by shooting him with my gun there in a crowd of people, because A, I didn't bring a gun, and B, the chances of wounding or killing someone you don't want to, even in an act of defense, is rather profoundly high. But just figuring, which way do I have to go? What do I have to climb? How many bleachers do I have to jump? What do I have to do to throw my body in front of a goddamn guy with a gun? Because this is America, and don't get on me. Use our Second Amendment remedies to protect freedom. Freedom! All right? Right. God, that shit gets frustrating. Truly, truly it does. But, Wolverine! And one less Wolverine. Jesus. Now, I don't know why I haven't played that clip before. Wolverines! With the guy with the fully automatic AK-47 down on his hip, shooting at a pair of helicopter gunships. Wolverines! So I guess I'm kind of nominating... I guess I'm kind of nominating the pistol-packing asshat as our first moron of the evening. And, of course, like I said, I tweeted about it. And if you look on my Facebook page, you'll find a thread. You know, my threads don't get that long. But this one ran upwards of like 120 comments or something going down. Now, I mean, it's a high school football game. Did I order nachos or did I order a hot dog? What do you think, punk? Honest to Pete. And then drove home in the dark. It's a live-action video game we like to call Dodge the Effin' Deer. It gets cold enough now that they're coming down from the high ground to get at the acorns on the low from the oaks on the low ground. Huh. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Duncan. Baldrick. A wide silk sash or leather belt worn over the right shoulder to the left hip for carrying a sword, etc. But I kind of knew more on Monday. You know, when you can't even go to a high school football game, when you can't even go to a community function without worrying whether and this is America in 2013. You can't go, at least in most many parts of the country, south of the Mason-Dixon line, Pennsylvania between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, parts of Ohio, most of Ohio, Indiana, Talibandiana, southern Illinois, a whole lot of this country. You can't even go to a community activity without wondering. And, you know, I never, not one damned time, ever, spent a second fearing that some 6-foot-6-inch tall Arab with toting a portable dialysis machine was going to turn the local Walmart into a smoking heap of rubble. I figured we were just a bit insignificant for starters, and B, I think they really did. Well, never mind. But I don't run around worrying about terrorism. But it's 2013. It's the 21st century. Well on the way to Star Trek and Next Generation and the monolith and all that cool stuff that's supposed to happen out there if we don't blow ourselves to pieces or poison ourselves or render the planet unfit for human life. And I can't enjoy a football game without wondering when some gun-toting Second Amendment remedy and freedom-protecting asshat is going to ruin everything by slaughtering people. Question for the international contingent. When y'all go to a community event, say a football match, y'all's football, not ours, what do you worry about? Because I'm pretty sure whether it be Sweden or Germany or Italy or France or even the UK with its own little subculture of football hooliganism, I'm pretty sure you don't worry about some guy hauling a hog leg out from the small of his back and the barrel running down the crack of his ass and shooting up the place. Do Canadians, do you worry about this stuff? What do you worry about in Australia when you go to a rugby match? That the beer will run out before the game does? What do you worry about in Germany? Poland? Yes, Scott, Sweden. Michael, Norway. What do you worry about in Ireland? What do you worry about in Spain or Portugal? Or what do you worry about in Japan? Well, I know what I'd be worried about in Japan, but it wouldn't just be because I was, you know, going to a football match. Plenty to worry about in Japan. You know, Fukushima and everything, and incompetence. And I mean, apart from Somalia, Haiti, the United States of America, parts of Mexico, unfortunately. Russia? Greece? Iraq? Afghanistan? It's my understanding the Afghans even managed to play cricket now without any beheadings or machine gun attacks or suicide bombs. But on a Friday night in West by God, Virginia, on a night when we would have liked to have been doing nothing more than celebrating this bit of popular recognition for our precious youngest daughter, I'm sitting there worried about the guy with the gun in the stands of the high school football game. Agnes kept looking at me and going, "Honey, are you okay? Are you having fun, honey?" "Oh, yeah, I'm having a great time, baby. Yeah, this is great. Can't wait for halftime." Mercy. So, that's that's just my little personal nomination for Moran Monday, and it is indeed personal. And maybe I'm overreacting. The thing that led to the thread on the Facebook page was a dear, dear old friend of mine who is wildly right-wing. And I don't have any problem. We've known each other for 30 years. I don't have any problem saying that he's wildly right-wing, because he's quite certain that I'm some sort of Bolshevik. Which I may be. Oh. Thank you, Sadie. Bless you, Bob. That wasn't a sneeze, actually. That was me getting frustrated and getting my tongue wrapped around my tonsils. He said, you know, why do you have to assume that the guy means ill? And I explained, because assuming goodwill on the part of a gun owner in this country is pretty stupid given the numbers these days. And at the very least, you got to be aware. You got to be alert. Robert in Australia, thank you. Subject line, football. Biggest worry? Parking. Most people, Bob, worry about parking here. For big matches now, they put on extra public transport. Huh. You mean nobody goes to the football match in a, you know, Kevlar jogging suit? Ron and Raleigh. Subject line, here's a thought. Hey, Bob Doodle could have packed her Roscoe into her Baldrick, protecting her freedom to be a homecoming princess. Wolverines! Thank you, Ron. This whole Wolverines thing is catching on. I'm seeing Wolverines more and more on my Facebook page and in the email. And, you know, maybe there's a larger point here. Just by conversations like we have here, maybe, just maybe, letting these gun-toting paranoids understand what the rest of us think of them the disdain in which we hold them, the pathetic sexualized the pathetic manifestations of sexualized inadequacy that having to strap a hog leg on to go get a loaf of bread makes obvious to the world, just maybe gently letting them know that might make them rethink it. Or not. Heard a story coming out of, is there a community, Southern California, somewhere around San Dimas? I can never forget San Dimas because of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Hello, San Dimas! Called Glendora. Is there a community called Glendora in Southern California? I'll be told in a moment. But apparently, it was necessary for Mr. and Mrs. Second Amendment, who were going shopping down to the Sam's Club. They weren't feeling particularly free, so she put her Second Amendment remedy in her purse bag to go to Sam's Club. And somewhere along the way, I don't know if it was at checkout or if they were, you know, over in frozen foods. But she dropped her purse. Not the first such story we've had. We had a freedom protector in Florida who dropped her purse and shot her friend in the leg. Well, this woman, this freedom protector, dropped her purse, and you know, the floor in Sam's Club is, for the most part, just concrete, like most big boxes. I don't think they've even got tile on the floor in Sam's, do they? Oh, that'd raise the overhead. I don't know if he said, you know, hey, honey. No, they don't talk that way in Southern California, do they? Sweet thing, would you take the buggy for a minute? I got to go over and see what the price is on that 72-inch big screen TV box. But anyway, something happened, and the freedom protecting Second Amendment remedy toting woman dropped her purse on the hard floor of the Sam's Club. At which point her freedom protecting device, her Second Amendment remedy, discharged and sent a bullet through her hubby. You hear me laughing? I ain't laughing. Because it isn't funny. Ah, thank you, Marty. Glendora, California. Affirmative. Closer to Azusa, another one of my favorite places. Right up there with Cucamonga. And Pismo Beach. Glendora, California, affirmative, closer to Azusa than San Dimas, along the Foothill Freeway, a.k.a. I-210. Thank you, Marty. Glendora sounds like something that what's his name, who made Plan 9 from Outer Space, had lived long enough to make a film about the mother-in-law in Bewitched, and Glenn or Glenda at the same, Glendora, right? Marty also noting, by the way, I think we're headed for World War Z, your Planet of the Apes, you know, the original, not the remake. Caesar is home. But that's just, I mean, that was our Friday night here in Freedom Land. What are you going to do? That, however, to suggest that we are in at all lacking in other nominees. Oh no, not at all. Because we got a ton. And the ton we have comes, well, there's, I don't know, I was at sixes and sevens. I didn't know where to start. Among other things, you know, Godzilla from Wasilla is, she's been grandmothered away from even participating in More In Monday because it's just taken for granted, Sarah Palin. I don't know, though. I don't know. We may have to consider her, we may have to consider her entry. What else, though? Well, we've got, he's been away for a while. And it seems only fair to give him his fair shot.
Alex Jones. We've got some Alex Jones today because, among other things.
Oh, brother. Speaking of firearms, there was a whole bunch of freedom protectors. You know, let's say you're a tourist visiting San Antonio, Texas, one lovely weekend. And you walk up, and lo and behold, here's a whole crap load of Second Amendment freedom-protecting Americans walking around with loaded weapons. And you've got your children with you. And you never know, with a couple of hundred freedom protectors around, when one of them is going to go in the space of all it takes to pull, squeeze the trigger on one of those loaded weapons from lawful gun owner to awful gun owner. Well, that was what happened at the Alamo in San Antonio this past weekend. They had themselves an open carry rally. Now, if everything I've read is correct, it is not okay just to go walking down the middle of Main Street, you know, like that, you know, wah wah wah, with your freedom protector out and open. So, some right-wing gun goob objects to not being able to just walk around with his Winchester Model 76 slung over his shoulder, and got a couple of hundred of other aggrieved paranoids, and they decided that they would confront the open carry law. Or the fact that you can't open carry. Imagine that West Virginia would ever be behind Texas, or out in front. Here in West Virginia, you can grab the old family muzzle loader, the old family AK-47, the old family anything, walk right down the middle of Main Street with it, and nobody can say a damn thing to you. Freedom! Wolverines! Apparently, you cannot do that in Texas. Stan. This inspired these, and you want to talk about an inspiring marketing slogan. I mean, this isn't inflammatory or provocative at all. The gun goobs named their little rally, Come and Take It San Antonio. There is a city ordinance in the city of San Antonio that bans firearms from city parks during a rally. These Second Amendment freedom protectors, well, they don't need no laws. I don't think I've got the stomach for all of this clip. I'm a man, the crazy will start spewing forth quick enough that we can go away fairly quickly in our own right. But yeah, I mean, what's the point of having a come and take it San Antonio rally for freedom. Freedom! And not inviting the freest man in the world. In particular, it is noteworthy that he is free of a brain. I give you
Alex Jones.
Please welcome Alex Jones.
Oh, cheer you, goobs.
First off, I want to salute everybody who came out here in defiance of tyranny.
In defiance of tyranny, you caught that, right? Oh, dear, we're going to be forever getting through this. 19 seconds in. In defiance of tyranny. Because the government has no right to make appropriate place, time, and manner restrictions on things like where you can carry a gun in civilized society. Thank you, Jan and Jerry. A correction before we go back to
Alex Jones,
to the Glendora, California story. Out of the L.A. Times, the story comes. A husband and wife were arrested Sunday after a gun they were allegedly carrying in a fanny pack accidentally fired inside a Sam's Club in Glendora. Police say it happened about 1:30 p.m. near the entrance to the store. Ellen Marie Duncan, 50, was allegedly... Class of 63, huh? Was allegedly carrying a handgun inside her fanny pack when she dropped the pack and the gun discharged, so it wasn't her purse. I was factually incorrect. Helen Marie's hubby, Robert, was struck, I might add, by the bullet, not by the fanny pack or anything like that, in the arm. And in the note, Jan and Jerry say, you got to read the last line, Bob. And when you get something like that, you do. Let's take the last two paragraphs. Glendora Police Sergeant Mike Randazzo said it's rare for guns to discharge when they're dropped. It's rare. Well, she only winged him anyway. Usually these kinds of accidents happen when someone is cleaning their gun. Which we much prefer, I guess, as a matter of public policy and social well-being. Randazzo, in a hole, and knowing nothing about the first law of holes when you're in one, stop digging, then added, this is basically an isolated incident. We don't have any problem with people carrying guns, as long as it's legally and safely. Okay. And how do you know either one? Apparently, she wasn't carrying it safely. Oh, here's another choice nugget from the story. Duncan's husband, Robert, 48, was struck in the arm. Police got several calls from witnesses about the shooting, but the Duncans didn't stay around to do any more shopping. They drove to a hospital in San Dimas where police caught up with them. 2 hours later, the Duncans were arrested on suspicion of negligently discharging a firearm and illegal possession of handgun without a concealed carry permit. Tyranny! They ought to be able to take that thing anywhere they want to. You just ask
Alex Jones.
Aye, aye, aye. But back to Alex, because, you know, freedom. So we understand that he understands that everybody is there to resist tyranny. And when you start there, where else can you go but in a sort of syphilitic corkscrew path downward.
Go one way or the other. You either become more free or you become enslaved. And there are only a few countries worldwide where you can still own firearms. Governments worldwide controlled by powerful anti-free market corporate interests like Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and others.
You got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, that's pro. J.P. Morgan Sachs, J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs are the ones who are keeping us. I mean, never mind the housing bubble or the, never mind the whole filthy dodge with the. Why bother? Okay, I got to research this. In how many countries can you own a gun? Not the most artful phrase, but hopefully it'll. Hey, this website files guns under hobbies. All right, here's an answer. Switzerland, Israel, Finland, Serbia, Austria, Germany, and Russia, Canada. You can own hunting. You can own firearms in the UK. Aye. I'm sure the only a few countries. That's what
Alex Jones
said. Now, I don't see a definitive list, but I don't think it's only a few countries. Back to the hero of Bohemian Grove.
Programs from Australia to France, from England to South Africa to disarm the people. Whether it was King George 235 years ago who wanted disarmed slaves, or whether it was Santa Anna 177 years ago, or whether it was Adolf Hitler or Mao Zedong, these scumbags are all the same!
Woo!
Really? George the same? Really? George the Third is the same as Adolf Hitler is the same as Mao Zedong? Shh. Don't tell
Alex Jones.
But Adolf Hitler actually encouraged gun ownership. He just discouraged it for certain people. You probably got a pretty good idea which people. Do, please,
Alex,
continue.
We are bullies that think we're going to lay down to them and lick their boots. I can assure you that if William Barron Travis was here, or the others that died in this sacred shrine were here...
Died in the sacred shrine to protect slavery. But Alex has forgotten that.
They would give us a rebel yell of liberty!
A rebel yell? Really? A rebel yell? From Colonel Travis? Or Sam Houston? Okay, granted, my Texas history is not anything that I would even take into a fifth grade Texas history quiz. I'm trying. I'm getting some learning done. But really, the Alamo Boys? Rebel Yell? Whatever. Whatever, Glenn. I mean, Alex.
I can assure you, they knew full well they were going to watching people tied up and shot in the back of the head all over Texas because they wouldn't turn their guns in, that they came down here to show an example of what you do in the face of tyranny.
All right. I mean, okay. Anybody, Texas history, please. Because I thought Mexico had outlawed slavery, and the guys at the Alamo wanted to keep on having slaves. Pretty sure that's correct.
And that's what you're...
And Santa Ana came up to get their bazookas and their nuclear weapons and it was
tyranny. And they were gonna take away all their cardamom and nutmeg, and pretty soon there would be no spice of life left in Texas. Tyranny.
Right now, today. And I'll tell you, I'm no different than my ancestors. You're no different than your ancestors.
Well, it depends on which ancestors we're talking about. I mean, probably don't go in for evolution, do you, Alex? But no, we're considerably different from our ancestors, Homo habilis, Homo erectus, Australopithecus afarensis. Hell, we're somewhat different than... You saw the big skull find story, right? We're considerably different from our ancestors, Alex. Well, you're not. No. You're still knuckle walking. You just rubbed all the hair off your knuckles, Alex.
Ancestors on both sides of my family started the Texas Revolution. And I'm here to tell you that revolution was a continuation of human beings fighting against bullies and tyrants in every civilization throughout history. And this is the struggle of individuals against the bullies and the tyrants. And I salute you all for being here today. This is the heart of 1776. It wasn't one of the reasons.
What? Gotta have a little help. Gonna have to have a lot of help, it appears. Texas, the Alamo, that was 1776?
Alex?
Don't eat the brown acid. If Alex Jones offers you the brown acid, we say again, don't eat the brown acid. I can't wait for the part of this thing where he starts hollering about, and the sky is breathing, and oh my God, purple!
That the war against King George began, it was the central, main, final reason at Lexington and Concord. And it wasn't one of the reasons there was a rebellion against the dictator Santa Anna, later thrown out in Mexico proper. It was the main central reason they met at Washington on the Brazos, where my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Ayers helped kick the whole thing off to say, we're not turning our guns in, and we're not running, and we're not backing down. If you want them, come and take them.
And Santa Anna, and Santa Anna did. I mean,
Alex Jones
not remember how that ended? It's a pretty historical good bet now that actually David Crockett, who had had a hard life all the way through, ended his life on his knees begging for his life from the Mexican authorities down in Mexico. They were not in a mood to comply. Because, you see, what had been done at that time, being as how Texas was still part of Mexico, was anybody? Bueller? Treason! Yes, these were traitorous acts.
missed the whole slavery thing, didn't Alex?
Alex did.
But that's okay. Marty reminds us that, remember, according to Alex Jones, there were black-led race riots in the streets killing white folk with guns after the Zimmerman verdict.
A note from Robert in Australia.
Guns in Oz. Bob, as I've mentioned, you can own guns in Australia.
Not that most Australians want to own a gun.
And only certain types of firearms are allowed. No handguns.
See the Wikipedia page.
And you have to pass all sorts of checks to own one. Mind you, no number of guns will help you with a 350-kilometer-wide firestorm headed your way.
Right, come on. We're going to go out and shoot the wildfire. It'll run away, quick. Like a dingo.
No, not really.
And wait a minute. Now, you know when I travel that I pay close attention to the local dialects because I love the spoken word.
He said Brazos.
Down to the last human being, and you know, I was there where that river goes through. In a couple of places, down to the last human being I heard while down there, everybody, and we had a conversation about it, because I would have said Brazos. The Spanish pronunciation would be something close to Brazos. They surmised that it was so named because the first Spanish invaders were near dead of thirst when they fell into the arms of God, which they thought that they considered the river to be, and were able to wet their whistles. But to a human, down to the last human being I spoke to, everybody said Brazos.
So I now say Brazos,
because I don't want to be called out as some yahoo who's never been through Central Texas.
Alex says the Brazos.
Tell you anything?
It does. It, there's a certain amount of inauthenticity that comes with not knowing the local argot, like walking into a diner in Georgia and asking, you want some grits, honey? And you say, I'll have a grit. Yeah, like that.
Go on, Alex.
Our mistake. The entire world is watching us. There are shrines in here sent from places like Japan. And our fight for liberty includes every man, woman, and child, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, old, young. It doesn't matter. You have a right to self-defense, and that's what this is all about.
That's right.
There is a fight worldwide to take your guns. Dianne Feinstein, Handgun Control Incorporated. The few dozen Democratic Party operatives, they're going to have marching here in a little while. The
so-called moms with the so-called children that were born from the so-called moms. All right, Kate, you win. Kate writing in, okay, we get it. Isn't there something else that's more important? So much going on around the planet. Yes, there is. And Alex Jones and the Gun Goobs want to shoot every... Their remedy to whatever's going on the planet is to take a couple of pot shots at it. You know, wave a gun at it. Like, you know, as Robert points out, say, a wildfire. Yeah. Yeah, but there's only so much Alex Jones you can take, even though I'm sure that there's a whole lot more. I mean, this is more Ann Monday, remember. There are a couple of other choice things, but it's not worth waiting to get to. Later on, he says,
we will take our rights back in San Antonio. We will take our rights back in Austin. We will take our rights back in Chicago.
Chicago, Texas? I know there's a Paris, Texas. There's a Chicago, Texas?
We will take our rights back in Beijing.
Now, stop it. There is not a Beijing, Texas... Oh, hell, maybe there is. Big state.
We will take our rights back in Mexico City.
No, there is not.
I'm quite certain that those heroic founders of the Republic of Texas, maybe there is a Mexico, Texas, never mind. There's a Mexico, Missouri. There's a California, Missouri. There's an Indiana, Pennsylvania.
We will take our rights back in Australia.
Oh, Robert. John. Angry. Philip. Guys. Alex Jones is going to strap on and come after you. Tell him you're right behind the wildfire.
We will take our rights back in Australia, England, and everywhere else, because I can't remember any more city or country names. Because they're...
Wait a minute. If you can't own a firearm in most of the countries of the world, how come you run out with Australia and England and then dump...
Everywhere else! Somalia.
Oh, wait.
They got lots of guns in Somalia. We'll get your gun rights back for you in Haiti. Oh, never mind. We'll get your gun rights back for you in the Iraq.
Oh.
In Pakistan. No. In Afghanistan. No. No.
Yeah, Alex Jones is going to lead the great leap forward in China. I can't wait to hear that voice. Speaking the tonalities of Mandarin. I can't freaking wait. It's only going to have one pitch. He'll probably think he's saying freedom and wind up saying, you know, Wolverines. Probably think he's saying gun rights in Mandarin and say and instead saying, long live Chairman Mao. Hand me my little red book. For pity's sake. And, yeah, there were the obligatory remarks about the globalists who are persecuting. Now, you know what? The globalists, credit where credit's due. There are globalists who are persecuting people. But they're not persecuting people by coming and taking their guns. They're persecuting people by coming and taking their homes. J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Citibank, Bank of America. Yeah. More ends everywhere. I mean, in rich abundance. Got a graphic. I got a more end graphic over the weekend from Fritz in Arkansas. He said, Bob... This has been popping up in Arkansas lately. They're really showing their true colors now. Not happy to wave a Confederate flag only, you know, the Confederate battle flag, and not happy to wave only the Gadsden flag. Remember the mock-up, emphasis on the word mock, from the, yeah, don't laugh at me. The Arkansas Teabagging Party posted on Facebook with the accompanying words, F the federal government Molon Labe MFers community. A graphic of the Confederate battle flag with a red, white, and blue coiled up Gadsden flag rattler. And some inscription that is too small for me to read. But is probably poorly spelled. I will simply say that I reiterate my position that they ain't done. We are not back to normal. Well, going back to sequester land was not normal in the first place. They're not done. Marty pointing out, contrary to what
Alex Jones
says, Trayvon Martin didn't have a right of self-defense. No, no, no. No. Oh, and how about some military morons? We haven't had any military morons lately. Two senior naval officers have been arrested in what is being billed as the worst scandal to hit the U.S. Navy in years. The officers, U.S. Navy Commander Michael Vanek Kem Miskiewicz and Naval Criminal Investigation Service Supervisory Special Agent John Bertrand Beliveau II, are accused of accepting bribes from the CEO of Singapore-based Glen Defense Marine Asia Limited in exchange for preferential treatment regarding contracts, as well as for tipping the company off to federal fraud investigations. The CEO, Glen Defense Marine, Leonard Glenn Francis, doesn't sound like a very Singapore kind of name, does it? Was arrested last month in San Diego, California, along with another company official after federal officials, investigators set up a sham meeting with Navy officials. According to federal prosecutors, it gets better. Or worse, depending on your point of view. Miskiewicz directed Navy ships to certain ports where Glen Defense Marine could overcharge the Navy for maintenance services. CBS News reports that maintenance for one ship, the aircraft carrier Stennis, the John C. Stennis of Mississippi Stan, cost the Navy $2.7 million, which is about double the average price charged by other ports. Since 2011, Glen Defense Marine has been awarded more than $200 million in Navy contracts. The company has been working for the Navy for more than two decades. Now, there was other stuff involved as well. In exchange for informing Glen Marine of the Navy's movements, and thank you, Shorty in L.A., for this story, Miskiewicz was reportedly gifted with all-expense-paid trips for him and his family, prostitutes, cash, luxury hotel rooms, and tickets to shows such as The Lion King and Lady Gaga concerts. That's a pretty broad spectrum of grift, whatever. One wonders if the prostitutes got to come along on the family vacations. One wonders if the prostitutes were already waiting in the luxury hotel rooms. Because we know, for instance, from the divorce a decade or so ago, of one Neil Bush, that when traveling in Thailand, it is accepted and culturally required that when the prostitute shows up in your hotel room saying, "Lip my stocking," well, you just have to. I mean, it's cultural. You have to, right. So, allegedly, a member, a high-ranking officer of the United States Navy, took pay in hookers in exchange for directing a nuclear aircraft carrier to a port where the Navy could be double-billed. Well, now we know. But you have to, because you got to recover the cost of the hookers somewhere. Morons. Lots and lots of morons. My thoughts go out to the grieving families in Sparks, Nevada, outside of Reno. Our thoughts go out to the grieving family of the young man in Austin, Texas, who posted a heartbreaking suicide note on Facebook saying, "Y'all don't care about me anyway, and I'm going to go be an angel so I can watch over my little baby as my little baby grows up." And then got easy access to a handgun and ended the universe for himself. Wow. In Sparks, Nevada, one student, 13-year-old Kyle Newcomb, told RGJ, the Reno Gazette Journal,
that he watched another student, around 13 or 14 years old, point a gun at a teacher who told him to put it down. The student shot the teacher, at which point Kyle and other students ran away. He heard four or five more shots before a woman sheltered him and other students in her house. Here, then, the response of Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval, Republican. I was deeply saddened to learn of the horrific shooting at Sparks Middle School this morning. My administration is receiving regular updates, and the Nevada Highway Patrol is assisting at the scene. Kathleen and I presume that's Brian Sandoval's wife, extend our thoughts and prayers to the victims and those affected by these tragic events. We will not, however, do a goddamn thing about the proliferation of gun violence inside our schools. God bless America. That is all. Okay, I added everything after these tragic events. How about you, Harry Reid? My condolences go out to the victims' families, and my thoughts are with the teachers, administrators, parents, and students at Sparks Middle School who have experienced a traumatic morning. No words of condolence could possibly ease the pain, but I hope it is some small comfort that Nevada mourns with them. I stand by to be of any assistance if there is anything that can be done, and I will continue to monitor the situation. How about making it harder to acquire handguns, Harry? That's something that could be done, but that is something that will not be done, you know, because freedom! Wolverines! Right. Hey, thanks very much, Gene. Gene getting us started this evening. $20. We are $20 down the road. Thank you, Gene. Thank you very kindly toward our fundraising goal for the evening. That leaves only 23 people at $10 apiece to get us to tomorrow and help us be fully funded for the week so we can pay bills on time, hopefully. Thanks. Thanks, Gene. Thank you very much. So we'll take a break now. Open the phone lines. Especially being as how they are working, 304-658-3333. On Skype, my handle is Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. You can get in that way, too, and you are welcome to join in the conversation. More Morans, oh yes, and hopefully your nominations for said Morans. We call what we do here Conversation Radio. It's listener-supported and has been for years, and it is you who are keeping this all afloat. We are but 3 days away. We won't be here for the actual anniversary, but we are but 3 days away from our anniversary date, 8 years in this manifestation. 10 years in total, 8 years, Internet only. All because of you. So, light up the lines, especially since they work. We'll be back. Conversation Radio, this is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
seemed rather appropriate, I thought. 12.5 minutes past the hour on this Moran Monday on the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. And lines are open, 304-658-3333. And all the lines that follow that, kind of double-checked and everything, because, well, can't take anything for granted anymore with this two dented tomato cans and a string. Extremely pricey internet service. But, no, it appears things are working. Let's go to the phones.
Good evening, sir.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Interesting weekend. Interesting night tonight, too. Where did this guy Jones come from? What hospital did they close and let him out of?
He's based, oddly enough, in Austin.
Of all places. He doesn't show up wearing a hat with a big N on it or anything, huh?
No, or a point. I'm surprised he doesn't show up in a pointy, a pointy pillowcase.
Yeah, that's probably where he's coming from. I got a question for you. Something hit me the other night. There used to be a little storefront building in when I lived in the suburb of Cleveland, East Cleveland, which in those days was surrounded one side by Cleveland Heights and three towns by Cleveland. How it ever stayed to be a small little burb like that, I'll never understand. But there was a joint down there, a storefront, with the word technocracy painted up. And I thought, technocracy. And I called a couple other old guys, and nobody could remember it. And finally called a friend of mine, the one that taught history for years in Lake County. And technocracy was an outfit that started after the First World War and was still treading very lightly in the 60s. And their belief was that technocrats could run a country better than politicians. Because it stuck on, I said, what the hell was technocracy? Because I knew it was a political group, so I looked that up, and sure as hell, they were a bunch of engineer types who thought that engineers could run the country better than politicians. Probably more honestly, but this situation is just out and out disgusting, and I don't know what's going to finish these people. I think they won't be finished, unfortunately, before I am, I guess. But and what we're speaking of did your uncle ever tell you what they were? Were they flying Mustangs?
Oh no, he was carrier based.
Well, what were they flying?
The primary, well. It changed as the war went on. We were badly unprepared when the war started.
Yeah, that P-40 wasn't much of anything, was it?
Well, off of a carrier, the number one aircraft, fighter aircraft, was an F-4F Wildcat by Grumman.
Okay, Wildcat.
They rather quickly rolled out the F-6F. Yeah. The F-4F had a real hard time coping with the Zero. The F-6F, however, was heavily armored and could outturn and outclimb it, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
And then along came the Vought F4U Corsair.
Yeah, Corsair is the only one.
And those were the two fighter aircraft in the South Pacific, carrier based, that put paid to the Japanese Air Force.
Yeah, the Japanese couldn't. They were so hard up for oil that the military had the people going up and digging out pine trees to get the pine oil out of the roots.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, of course, why they went after the Dutch East Indies anyway with oil. It's the same mentality, you know. And what bothers me is I see that mentality in my own country today. It's like, wait a minute, you know, what happened here? And it's enough to disgust you. But And the other thing I got lucky with this one, I just finished a cup of coffee made in a funny-looking pot with a long handle and very finely ground coffee, and about a half a cup when you're done with it. The little device you boil a coffee in water in is called an IBEK, I-B-E-K.
I'm trying to think if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, it's Turkish. And the fellow that turned me onto that was a Lebanese guy that owned a bar that I worked at, and I'd gone to fix his TV one day, and he first gave me two shots of ouzo. He should have waited till I was done working on his set. Man, oh, man, you taste that stuff? Holy crow, it's like licorice. tasting, and your hair stands on end. I mean, it is something. But then he finished me with these short demitasse cups of Turkish coffee. I think it's Ethiopian blend coffee that I'm using that's very fine ground, and you bring it to a boil and a little sugar in it, and you boil it up, and man, you've got that. I don't know whether it would be.
Oh, back in my caffeine abuse days, I loved Turkish coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it too, unfortunately, but I mean, getting back to the reality of what we're doing here. What the hell, what the hell are these guys trying to do? And who hired this bunch that's handling the medical care? Who hired this computer bunch? Because I don't know where they got them from. They sound like a bunch of some of the TV guys that I worked with. They didn't know this from that, you know?
Well, and anytime you run across something like that, Bill, it's follow the money.
Yeah.
This is, I know that the right wing is trying desperately to paint this as another failure of government because, that's their constant meme. But this wasn't built by government, this website.
No.
It was built by private contractors.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and frankly, it was built based on the notion that most states would want to handle their own exchanges.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're back to states' rights again, yeah.
Right. And so that was one of those little fifth column movements that occurred with the Affordable Care Act. It was, for instance, West Virginia took millions of dollars of federal money to set up its own health insurance exchange.
Yeah.
Took all the money and said, nah, we decided we don't want to do that. We want to be in the federal exchange. And what they said, this is just classic old fifth column monkey wrenching.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of these states that had to have an exchange but didn't want Obamacare, so-called, in the first place, went onto the federal exchange in an effort to monkey wrench the system. And to a certain extent, they succeeded.
Yeah, they sure have, to some degree. Now, I don't have to worry about that because of Medicare and such in my old age, but...
Look at a couple of the better examples. And there aren't many instances where you're going to say something positive about California and Kentucky in the same breath.
Yeah.
But both of those are running their own exchanges and running them very well.
And the governor of Kentucky knows that these are poor people, and they need this stuff. And all this crap you hear from the pig lickers about Canadians and how they hate their medical care. I don't know who the hell they talk to. The ones who want to get a nose job or a new head of hair or some other ridiculous thing that may not have to be done. When I used to go for years to...
But they don't tell the truth, Bill. What they want Americans to think is that if you get rolled into the ER on a code blue with an MI, that some bureaucrat is sitting in some windowless government office somewhere saying, "Nah, he's going to have to wait."
Yeah.
In point of fact, though, what happens is the waiting happens because medical services are extended based upon need. You actually take care of the guy with the MI before you take care of the guy who wants a new set of plugs in his head.
Yeah, exactly. And for the average person raising kids, this is, a lot of times what kids will do is, how many young men do you know that have broken arm playing football? Or a wrist, or a hand, or something else? And this stuff will break you if you're paying for it, cash.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, I've got a bent little finger on my left hand for some guy knocked the PA system over. He knocked the power unit over twice, and the third time he's looking at me in the eye and faking pushes, and he pushed it. Well, I was off stage so quick, I hit him and knocked him across the bar and picked him up and knocked him back again. And the Lord's given me, or... somebody has given me the wisdom to know when to get involved and when not to. If the guy was much bigger, I would have been waving at the bouncers, take this guy out of here.
Right.
But anyway, I busted the finger on my left hand, a little finger. And, you know, you've seen harmonica players cup the damn thing.
Sure.
And in order to play, they put a splint on it, but I couldn't hold the damn harp. And you need to make a living before you do anything else. So my little finger has been bent ever since 80 or something like that.
Oh, I've got a similar story. I'm not a brawler, and I try to stay out of fights, but about 20 years ago, the knuckle on my right little finger disappeared, and it disappeared when I was, as a result of me, I'm not proud to say it, putting my fist into somebody's face, who richly deserved it, I might add, and I got what was referred to as a boxer's fracture.
Oh, yeah.
And so if I make a fist with my right hand now, I don't have a knuckle down where my little finger is.
Yep.
You know how they just kind of stick up? Well, no, that one doesn't.
Yeah, you're hurting. But I just had a temperament that, I don't know. I guess, you know, you grow up in a housing project like I did in the 50s. You develop certain things that if you didn't, you were constantly on the receiving end of some bully. So that, you know, that's why I had the temperament that I had, but still. But getting back to this mess in Texas, was he trying to tell you that he was saying that his people fought in the revolution from Texas against Mexico?
Apparently that's the gist of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Santa Ana was a bum. There's no doubt. I think the Mexicans ran him out twice. And he came back again after being run out once, and then the war with Mexico finished him, I guess. But those folks were invited in there to settle by Santa Ana, by the Mexican government. And as usual, if you give some people a half a chance, they'll say, well, why the hell should we put up with him? You know, and I know it makes me sound anti-revolutionary, but Santa Ana was no damn good, but on the other hand,
good or bad, what does he do, Bill,
yeah,
when confronted with treason and sedition and insurrection?
Yeah, because that's what by the Constitution, because actually he changed the Constitution of Mexico, and I think the letters that were supposedly printed on the flag over the Alamo was from the original date of the Constitution that he got rid of, Santa Ana got rid of. I've read enough about it. I'm one of these people, how many things have I read on about D&B and Fool, hoping that, well, maybe this time the French will win it, you know? But just, you know, the history keeps digging up more stuff, like what you mentioned about Crockett didn't come out until within my lifetime.
Oh, that's fairly recent.
Yeah. I remember that. The other book that I picked up was on CD, one that was stolen, was a thing called Ghost Soldiers. It was a movement made by the U.S. with strong Philippine guerrilla backing to go down and empty the prison at Cabanatuan, where the Japanese had been planning on offing all the prisoners that were still in, that had been there since 1942. I don't have much, you know, what kind of use can I have for the Japanese army in World War II? Nazis, Japanese, militarists, and other people's militarists become moles cut from the same cloth, Bob.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
And I don't like it. And in fact, you see that Jep just died a couple weeks ago, a week or two ago. The guy who beat the French and held the Americans to a standstill and overran the South Vietnamese government. He was bitching and like a madman about what he didn't like about North Vietnam. But they were tolerating the man because he was 100 years old. And, you know, as if Washington came back today and walked around saying, I don't like what I'm seeing here today. Or Jefferson or somebody. Go back to the grave, old man. Leave us alone. Because that's what I get from the what the professors telling me about the Constitutional Convention was. That was where I was weak in American history. And it isn't exactly something to bring tears of joy to you, is it? Because the whole thing where you...
The whole thing was a compromise.
Yeah.
And some of it was fairly cynical.
Yeah. Well, compromising to some degree is the way that you have to operate in a mixed country of a lot of different people with different attitudes. But, I mean, when the bottom line in our country was the fact that one man could own another and treat him the way he wanted. I heard some right-wing talk show host saying, well, the laws ended worldwide with the importation of slaves, did they not? Long before our Civil War, they had England and a few other people tried to put a crimp on the slave trade.
Right.
But that didn't mean anything over here when you had enough people that could give birth. You didn't need to buy people from another part of the world. You produce your own. And it was just, it's just so hard to live with when you grew up in it. And then the young man from Mississippi that was killed, and he went to Chicago to live. He was actually from Chicago, but went back to Mississippi, and somebody bitched about something he supposedly said. And of course, Schwerner and Goodman, and who was the other guy? Guys who were registering voters, because Cowardly Bill was, talked to about going down and registering people, and I didn't have it, man. I didn't have the courage to do it, and I kind of resent myself in my old age for that, but we knew what was going on, and what can we say? But I'll let you go, but it just, the more I see and even this medical health bill was a backtread by President Obama. President, not sure. He invites the insurance companies in to help get a big hunk of it, because we can't have socialized medicine. I mean, only England has.
Well, for heaven's sakes, it was written by the Heritage Foundation.
Yes.
And there's, among rational people who live in a factual world, Bill, there's no debate about that. It's a case of the Republicans were for it before they were against it. It was a great idea in 1992 and 93 when it was the right-wing response to so-called Hillary Care.
Yeah, Hillary Care, yes.
But as soon as it was proposed by that black man in our White House,
you got it.
Goodbye.
Yep.
Communism, right. Kenyan socialism.
Yep.
Muslim.
Yep, exactly. In fact, that's where the coffee I came from Kenya. I couldn't remember where it was from.
Yeah, what is that, Kenya Double A, that's so good?
Yeah. Yeah, I bought it at one of the national chain of coffee houses, because they'll grind it fine for the Ibex that, to make Turkish coffee, it has to be really fine and ground. Because it disappears, really. In the hot water, you bring it to a boil a couple of times, and... Oh, yeah, it's good stuff. Maybe I'll be awake the rest of the night. But you've hit it on the head. I'm not happy with President Not Sure. I'm happy to vote for him, that's for damn sure, because it's something I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. And I thought, well, we're on the way to something decent here. What's happening here? What happened?
Well, yeah, there was that, Bill. Plus, there's also the fact that, remember who he was running against.
Of course, yeah.
I mean... We could, at this moment, but for, I don't know what, be repeating the phrase, Vice President Palin. And yes, John McCain is alive right now, but who knows what the stresses and rigors of the presidency would have done to him. We might very well be saying President Palin. Now, if that doesn't just make your bowels turn to water and the little hairs stand up on the back of your neck, I don't know what would.
I don't see what people even saw in her as being so attractive. Maybe I'm being in the music business. I met too many women in my life so I'm not. It's hard to impress me with, especially when there's nothing but idiocy coming out of the mouth. How long can you listen to idiocy? Well, I don't know. I don't talk to myself anymore, so I haven't been able to live with that.
I tell you what, it's kind of a visual thing, so I wasn't going to run it on the program, and I still can't because it's still a visual thing.
Yeah.
And we do try to avoid dancing about architecture around here. But I ran across a clip of Sarah Palin saying something absolutely idiotic. And I know that doesn't narrow the field very much,
no.
Bill. I realize I'm not helping. But the person interviewing her as her in her position as consultant or commentator or expert or whatever noble caltrop that she is at Fox News Radio Rwanda was Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
Now, she's an attack blonde. I mean, there is no end of wing nuttery that Megyn Kelly will not tolerate. But I tried an experiment suggested by one of the commenters wherever, I think it was over at Charlie Pierce's Esquire.com politics blog that put the video out there. But one of the commenters said, do yourself a favor, turn the sound down and just watch as Sarah Palin's lips flap, watch Megyn Kelly's face.
Yeah,
and I did, Megyn Kelly wasn't saying anything. She just looked like she was about to give birth to an aneurysm.
Yeah.
There are some things that IMAX, that it was like, you saw the light go on, and her realized that, yes, she is very well paid, but there are some things up with which she should not be forced to put. And Sarah Palin that day was one of them.
Who runs Fox News, the business end of it? A big fat guy. I knew him years ago. I knew him when he lived in Cleveland.
Oh, Ailes?
Ailes, yeah. I did some commercials for him for Saxby that were panned in Newsweek. It wasn't about the playing. It was about the message was so negative. One of them was kids throwing rocks at schools, and another was the American Eagle exploding in fire and smoke. I don't know if anybody could ever dig those out anymore, but they were... It was to support Saxby when he was running for the Senate here, which would have been... probably the 68 election, so might have been 67 when I recorded this stuff for him. And I didn't know who he was. I mean, I knew he ran he was producing a variety show here in Cleveland. And he was hanging out at a place where I used to go down and mess around sitting in on a harp with a Dixieland band just for the hell of playing something.
Well, that had to be fun.
Oh, it was. Well, me and the clarinet had a love-hate relationship. I loved it, and it hated me playing it. It sounded like six angry wives screeching at you, you know. It's a tough instrument, that's the way it is. But Ailes was, I knocked that stuff off, and I think it was $100 for 7 minutes of my time. I wish I could get that every day, you know, but especially in 1967 dollars.
Oh, that was a nice gig. That was sweet.
Easy money, you know. Of course, you know, to me, the ultimate capitalist, my cynical remark is the ultimate capitalist is the guy with the biggest gun on the darkest corner. He's the one that makes the quickest money on the most minimal return. He goes to some guy's house who collects guns, steals a good pistol, and goes out so there's no investment, and sticks it in your face and makes the maximum return on a minimal investment. Isn't that what a good capitalist does? Isn't that the idea behind the whole theory? I don't know. But anyhow, it gets you after a while. And as I say, I'm just disgusted with the whole, you and the phones. AT&T tried to get me on this U-verse. And whoever built this apartment, which is only 30-some years old, man, it wouldn't stay on. I'd be talking to the dead air and it'd turn off and everything else would go off. And they couldn't fix it. They tried three times. They brought experts in here and they couldn't get it going. I don't have much use for the phone company whatsoever, but that's because I remember what we were taught when I was little about the phone company.
Yeah.
But anyway, I haven't got too much more to say, but it's just, I'm unhappy with the medical bill, but it's better than nothing.
I understand that, and I mentioned the fact that we might actually have to introduce a Moran Monday nomination for the half-term former Alaska Governor Quitter lady thing. Yeah, Godzilla from Wasilla. And I do so because she's authored some sort of op-ed.
Oh, God. Who wrote it for?
Well, that was the first thing I thought, because they're... Well, just check this out, Bill, before you go. She says, it can be argued, that even a phrase like that tells you that she had nothing to do with it, that Obamacare isn't full socialized medicine. Yet. Right now it is a sort of corporatism. So suddenly she's anti-corporatist.
Well, yeah, I hear this a lot from these right-wing people. All of a sudden, well, wasn't Jones bitching about stockbrokers or something on his rant?
Right, right, because Goldman Sachs is going to come take your gun. Mm. You'd be afraid, be very afraid.
Well, knowing them, all I would do is sell it to somebody. But
she says, with Obamacare, the government has taken... I'm not going to do the voice. With Obamacare, the government has taken over an industry that comprises a sixth of our economy. Lord, didn't we hear that a bunch? Radically changed the way it operates and is mandating that we purchase the services of that industry. This is unprecedented. It's radical. I wonder if she checked with the Heritage Foundation, you know? This is amazing. For those Obama voters who are now flummoxed by the rise in their health care premiums, let me explain why they went up. Yeah, oh, do please explain, Sarah, right?
Yeah.
Obamacare has changed the very nature of insurance, which is a hedge against a future possibility. See, a sentence like that tells you she didn't write it either. And then she, but, okay, so blah, blah, blah. And then she says, now let's look at what, and I thought of this when you mentioned the Canadian system. She said, now let's look at what Canadians have. I dare say our good neighbor to your north and my east, hell, she doesn't live in Alaska anymore,
no,
has even worse health care coverage, but at least it's free for the individual.
Oh, it's worse, huh?
Yeah, it's worse. Because, you know, you can't get that Botox, you know, right then when you need it.
Jesus Christ. I'll give you one more piece of information. You know the strike out in California and San Francisco?
Right.
BART. The guy that built the rapid transit in Cleveland, and it opened in 53, and all it does is go across the north of from the airport to East Cleveland and ends there, which... It should go all the way to the Lake County line if it was real, or have offshoots and down freeways to Akron and a few other things. We already had that. They called it interurbans in those days. He was shit-canned in Cleveland. The guy's deceased, so he can't defend himself, and that's okay. But if it was in the Plain Dealer and the press and any other paper in there that he was caught rigging the bus bidding to favor GM over Flexible and Mack. And that's why he lost his job when he went out to California and he built BART. His last name was Hyde. That's, I can remember his full name, but it was all over the papers here as to why he was asked to leave as the head of the local transit system. He's also one that couldn't get rid of the electric-powered vehicles fast enough. Because we, after all, Bob... Why would you have electric-powered buses and trolleys or streetcars when you can buy oil and gasoline? You understand? Because we come back to that again, because we know that... Well, what was the movie Roger Rabbit?
I was just going to mention that. That even makes that whole situation makes a plot device appearance in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yep. I'm kind of funny in my cynicism in my old age. I think if my mother walked through the door and asked me to loan her $5, I'm not sure, you know. Well, what do you need it for, Ma? I mean, because, you know, you get to a point, it gets ridiculous. And you just don't, you get too damn cynical. I don't know what I should do. Maybe I should get a copy of some of... And that's good. The Wizard of Oz, old Baum, man, he wrote some. I think I told you about the one bunch that appears in the book, The Road to Oz, where they were flat-headed and they kept their brains in a can on their belt. Yeah, they were called the Flatheads. It was a tribe of, fairy tale characters. And the guy who ran the tribe was the Supreme Dictator, Sudik, Baum called him, S-U-D-I-C. And he got his power by the simple expedient of stealing everybody's can of brains. That man was way ahead of himself.
Absolutely, but you know, you gotta at least acknowledge that if he stole the teabagger brains, he'd get them home and find the cans were empty.
Good point. Well, take care and.
Well, before you go, I gotta tell you, you just got fan mail in. Steve just dropped a note in and says, "God damn, I love Bill." So.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad somebody likes me in my old age. Yeah, you're not too many people anymore. and by the way, the guy who really kicked my can musically was nominated for the Hall of Fame, but he won't make it. Paul Butterfield, the harp player, he'll never make it because he didn't sell enough stuff. Oh, that was another story, a quickie. At the 65 Newport Festival, the Alan Lomax was the MC, and Lomax did a lot of fine recording of Travel Through the South of the Tape Deck. And he recorded Muddy in 1940 at Stovall's Plantation in Mississippi. So he was a lover of music. But he calls up Paul's band and he says, "Now here's a bunch of white guys who say they can play blues." Well, Sam Lay, the drummer, and the bass player, whose name escapes me at the moment, were not Caucasian. They were musicians in their 30s and veterans of playing with people like Wolf and Muddy and, you know, Sam played drums for James Cotton on his first album. So, anyway, the guy that was Paul's manager and Dylan's manager, can't think of his name right offhand. Oh, yeah, I was Albert Grossman managed. And anyway, according to Mike Bloomfield in this book, The Rise and Fall of a Guitar Hero, Mike says these two old men in their 60s got into a fist fight behind the stage of the Newport Folk Festival. That, and he said the band was all laughing and pointing and having a great time with watching these two old timers duke it out. Oh, human nature, Bob. What can we do? Anyhow, you take care, my friend.
All right. You have a good evening, Bill. Good hearing from you.
Bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Bill, Mr. Stress, calling from Cleveland. Lines open, 304-658-3333. Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, on Skype. Either way is fine. A little reminder, it is 15 minutes before 8 here in the Eastern time zone, and we are still at $20 raised out of the $250 needed for the evening. Don't be intimidated by the number, $230. Every $10 helps. It all goes toward keeping all this working. So, just so you'll know, because I don't want to start tomorrow evening in a $480 hole, and then have Wednesday be a $730. No, that's depressing, among other things. But continuing on with the theme of More in Monday, I can't let this one slide. And I understand, well, having just mentioned, you know, the general fundraising theme, I have to, and then to go into this, I kind of understand. Folks who are gay might want to be saving some money up, because the right wing has finally figured out that they're not going to get you to get out of the streets or put away your rainbow flags or quit chanting "We're here, we're queer, get over it." No, they think you think like they think, or try to think. They're going to get you where it hurts. This coming from a creep by the name of Rick Scarborough, who has some sort of Tea Party unity group. This past week, he invited Peter LaBarbera. God, that sounds like a name you'd see on a marquee at a drag show, doesn't it? But never mind. They were talking about how in the world are we ever going to, we've we got to
We got to make the we got to make the gay go away. We've tried praying the gay away. We tried to legislate the gay away. We've tried to torture the gay away, and nothing works.
Enter Rick Scarborough and Peter LaBarbara.
We need to work on our conservative alternate media to say, look, don't do the pro-gay thing. Why don't you rather step out and support these ex-gays? And we should encourage Fox News to tell their stories. Fox is now telling the stories of black conservatives because the other media is not doing that. We should all get on Fox and say, come on, tell the stories, these wonderful stories of happy men and women who've left the homosexual lifestyle.
Bob, Fox had a great... no one in the queue, I'd like to ask a question.
Go ahead, Rick.
Peter, the whole issue of a class action lawsuit, you and I have talked about this a little bit. I just wonder if you've explored that, talked to anyone about it. Obviously, statistically now, even the Center for Disease Control verifies that homosexuality much more likely leads to AIDS than smoking leads to cancer, and yet the entire nation has rejected smoking, billions of dollars put in a trust fund to help cancer victims, and the tobacco industry was held accountable for that. Any thoughts on that kind of an approach?
Yeah, I think that's great. I would love to see it. And we have-
huh? Quash, Edith?
Are you gay? Are you a friend of somebody who's gay? Do you love somebody who's gay? Do you just want to live and let live in a world where folks just are who they are? Are you at this point, work, because I didn't give you the tennis ball and duct tape warning on this, and I probably should have. You got that? To gay is as bad as smoking. Really, really it is.
You've explored that, talked to anyone about it. Obviously, statistically now, even the Center for Disease Control verifies that homosexuality much more likely leads to AIDS than smoking leads to cancer. And yet the entire nation has...
I'm sorry. I'm not a brawler. I'm not a violent man. I espouse peace. I espouse the teachings of Dr. King and Gandhi. And but, well, wouldn't you really like to put your fist through this guy's face? Being gay is more likely to cause AIDS, HIV, hello. We kind of quit calling it AIDS a while back, didn't we? Then smoking is likely to cause cancer. Wow. That's... even for this bunch, even for this bunch, I mean, it's just, too much. But there's no such thing. There is no bottom. There's no basement. There's no sub-basement to the sickness of the of these evangelicals. Well, let's finish.
Rejected smoking, billions of dollars put in a trust fund to help cancer victims, and the tobacco industry was held accountable for that. Any thoughts on that kind of an approach?
Yeah, I think that's great. I would love to see it. And we always wanted to see one of the kid in high school who was counseled by the official school counselor to just be gay, and then he comes down with HIV. But we never really got the client for that.
Yeah, okay.
So now the newest tactic from the right wing is to sue the gay away. Yeah, as Marty notes, they want to file a class action lawsuit against gay people for gay. Yes, Marty, you heard that right. How are they going to find... Because, see, there are certain things that come with a class action lawsuit. I'll bet a bunch of us have even received the little postcards. You know, did you do business with Amazon between the years, blah, blah, and blah, blah, or eBay? You have to send this postcard in to opt out of the litigation and blah, 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 blah. Can you imagine the postage to send? Oh, wait, they've already got the mailing list, don't they? Of all the people out there hating on the gay folks. Still, the trial should be interesting. I mean, when you sue Big Tobacco, there's some pretty obvious defendants there. Philip Morris, Liggett Myers, R.J. Reynolds, right? Who are you going to sue for gayness? I didn't know. Is there a corporation out there, Amalgamated Gay? Cogswell Gay Cogs, Spacely's Gay Sprockets? Now, let's remember, just because they're stupid and hate-filled and ignorant and bigoted and probably so thoroughly latent that they've, well, yeah, doesn't mean they're not dangerous. Not in the least. Artist with a note. Suing the gay away. May the family of a heterosexual woman who has died of childbirth sue whomever encouraged her into heterosexual activity? Many women have permanent physical issues due to childbirth. Who will they sue? Oh, no, no, no. They're not going to sue nobody. Because the right wing, they want them some tort reform, and you got to take personal responsibility when you do things like that. Trust fund. Oh, my aching. But that's not the end of their genius. Oh, no. Oh, no. We go now to the state of Missouri, Stan, where they have a member of their hate house. Who knew? Where they have a member of their state house by the name of Representing Kevin Elmer. My name is Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht. Be very quiet. I'm hunting homos. Right? Representing Kevin Elmer. Is right upset. Over a photograph. It takes so little to get these bigots and knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing freaks upset. Out toward Springfield, Missouri, Stan, the News Leader is the paper of record. It notes that Representing Kevin Elmer is a repiglickin', no, they just say R, from somewhere in Missouri, Stan, called
NIXA, N-I-X-A. Missouri's full of names like that. Mexico, Missouri, California, Missouri, Kingdom City, Missouri. Right. So, there was a school event at NIXA High School. And the school event at, it was at an elementary school. There are these things that used to happen, and I remember when I didn't know they were still going on, but I remember when they would happen when I was an elementary school student. They had a thing called a book fair. Yeah, it's all about encouraging people to read. People, meaning little children. Because if you can get them reading early, there's a pretty decent chance they're going to keep on reading, and, well, then, literacy! Wolverines! No, it doesn't work that way, does it? So there was a photograph taken of one of the high school kids volunteering at the elementary school book fair. Seeing the photograph forced Representative Kevin Elmer to take to the Twitters. It is a page that no longer exists, by the way. It got disappeared down the memory hole because this bigot, this cretin, does not have the courage of his convictions just to put it out there and let folks see what an absolute the trotters and front trotters in the trough pig representing Kevin Elmer is. To the book fair where this person was volunteering. And the T-shirt simply showed some kind of straight-line drawing people. And underneath it, it had the word emblazoned, Harmony. Apparently, these straight-line drawings are gay, straight, and lesbian couples, and they all have their arms around each other's shoulders. Now, they ain't a-kissing or nothing. I mean, you know, they're line drawings, silhouette representations like the male and female on a restroom door, okay? They don't even have faces. They don't have eyes. They don't have a representation of a mouth. They're not even smiling. They just have their arms around each other's, their little, you know, line drawing arms around each other's shoulders, and it says Harmony. As in, let's get along. This pissed off right-wing Republican Kevin Elmer, who was infuriated by the T-shirt. So much so that he tweeted, NIXA school's failure. Okay, dumbass. It's NIXA school's hashtag all caps fail, but never mind. NIXA school's failure. High school students working elementary school book fair in gay T-shirts. Really? Gay T-shirts? Who knew a T-shirt could be gay? Because only one or two-thirds, depending on how you count it, of the T-shirt images, which are only images, by the way, and incapable of any sort of human relationship at all, were arguably gay or lesbian. The other third was heterosexual.
But I guess it's just a matter of T-shirt imagery majority rule on the part of right-wing, God-fearing, upstanding, evangelical Christian Kevin Nixa. Because it makes it a gay T-shirt. He said, I just think it's inappropriate to be promoting any sexual relationship in an elementary school, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual. It's not a gay rights issue. It's a parental issue. Because I'm a parent, and I decide when I should be talking about certain topics with my children, you know, like never. Okay, the like never I added. Don't anybody tell Representing Kevin Elmer, but it wasn't promoting any relationship at all, save for the idea that gay folks and straight folks can live in harmony. But that's okay, because upstanding, God-fearing, evangelical Christian Kevin Elmer Gantry sees sex everywhere. I just think it's inappropriate to be promoting any sexual relationship in it. Kev? Buddy, can I call you Kev? It wasn't promoting a sexual relationship. It was promoting people living together in peace, freedom, and, well, you know, harmony. The response to the tweet was swift and not terribly approving. One tweet said, what an interesting failure, asking students to accept people for who they are, the face of today's GOP. Meanwhile, Representing Kevin Elmer says it's become difficult to discuss the issue of homosexuality openly. The homosexual gay issue in today's society is so hypersensitive, you can't talk about anything without them jumping on you and being totally negative, and jumping on you, and jumping on you, and jumping on you, and jumping on you. Oh, no, no, never mind. What? God, they can't help it. If they're not talking about having something shoved down their throat, they're talking about gay people jumping on them. You'd almost think that they've got a few dark little fantasies, wouldn't you? You can't talk about it without them jumping on you. Oh, Lord, I hate it when they jump on you. Yes, I do. I'll be back in a minute. Anybody got any Kleenex? What a jackass. What he means by you can't discuss homosexuality openly is he objects to not being able to scream about how much he hates the gays before he goes home and masturbates some gay fantasy. That's what he means. Because, see, lots of us are talking about it quite openly. We're talking about the fact that not only should the closet door be open, but that the closet should be bulldozed and the earth salted where the closet once stood. We're talking about it quite openly. And we're talking about deviant, likely perverts like Kevin Elmer openly, too. And that's the part he doesn't like. Hey, thanks, Jack. Thanks very much, Jack, helping out. And taking us down to only 22 more people at $10 apiece needed to finish off the evening. Thank you very kindly, Jack. Badly needed and much appreciated. I mean, think about it. Just
I'm going to the phone in a second. 304-658-3333. Let's celebrate the fact that the phone lines are open by using them. I mean, if you want to. Oh, my God. Sister Jude ran out and did some quick homework on our buddy Kevin Elmer. What we have here is a picture of a pasty-faced, doughy, white guy standing pumping fuel into the tank of his pick-em-up truck. With a quote from him on the banner of the website, "I always remember that each tax dollar was paid by a hard-working individual." Here's his mission statement. You work hard. You pay taxes. You deserve to be heard, all caps. Continue to bring Christian County values to Jefferson City. Okay. Anyway, really? This guy comes from Christian County? He says, "I intend to work hard on these three issues." Anybody got a Kleenex? "Reducing regulations on businesses. I want government to step back and let businesses do what they do best, to create jobs and services. I believe less regulation and interference will empower our Missouri businesses to thrive. Ensuring that education occurs at the local level. I believe education is best accomplished at the local level by those who understand the needs and can teach children the shared values of the community." That means whatever values Kevin Elmer decides he wishes for the community to share, none of which involve living harmoniously with people who don't have sex the way you want them to have sex, or have sex the way you don't want them to. And then he says, "I want to see family farms." Oh, my God. Will somebody please cue up Lee Greenwood? No, I won't. "I want to see family farms grow strong and free from the attacks of special interest groups and government intervention." Monsanto? Anybody? No, I'm guessing that's not what he means about them special interest groups. He's probably talking about the homosexuals there, too. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jude. Christian County values. You betcha. Yeah, Jim gets it. Subject line. And it's only a subject line. Work hard and stay hard. That's Kevin Elmer representing the Missouri State House. Because, you know, T-shirts have sexual... T-shirts with no human beings wearing them have sexual relationships. Ron and Raleigh noting, Bob, Bob, Bob. I always know I've screwed up when I get a Bob, Bob, Bob from Ron and Raleigh. "This is just a way for Big Gay to get its nose under the tent. Read between the lines, son. Read between the lines." Then Danny, "Really, Bob? They, the Jesus freak loving, those that love to hate but hate to love, right-wing nutcases have just redefined and hit a new low for stupid, insane, and hate-filled ideologues. So with their logic that the gays should be the target of a class action suit because of HIV, then do we sue the African-American or black population over sickle cell anemia? And is there a group of illnesses referred to as Jewish genetic disorders that have a higher propensity of occurring to Jewish people? So do we sue all the Jews like the gays, or do we sue the country of Israel? Sweet Zeus! If ever anyone needed to see a clinical example of advanced mental illness, we can just refer them to Peter LaBarbera, Pat Robertson, et al. As your official gay Louisiana Stan listener, all I can say is, I can't wait until these dinosaurs just effing die off! But remember, Danny... They breed.
because God wants them to. Son of a gun. Thank you, Fritz. Christian County is actually the name of the county that Nixon, Missouri is in. Of course it is. Of course it is. Aye. More on Monday. You got to expect this sort of stuff. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, good afternoon. How are you? Good evening for you, I guess it is.
Yeah, it's evening now. Doing good. How about you?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Just enjoying. I've been itching to come on your show and say hello.
Oh, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, your phone was down for what was it?
Hey, something like a week.
Yeah, yeah. Really frustrating when all the fun was.
Well, we got a couple of the lines back late last week, but it made a mess of things.
Yeah, it was frustrating not being able to get through to you. But you do great show on your own, though, I must say. I'll give you credit for that. It was a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, a three-hour filibuster, especially because I don't get to break it up with with a commercial every 2.5 minutes, can get a little tiresome.
No, I love it. It's great listening. I can listen over and over and over and over. But, that government shutdown was a lot of fun, wasn't it? It only cost what it cost. But.
Yeah, it was as much fun as a barrel of snakes.
Yeah, it was like the Koch brothers, the cranky billionaires versus Wall Street. I think what it came down to. I wonder who's going to win.
No, I still say it was an act of revolution and rebellion. Not to mention sedition and treason.
Well, I think that it was interesting to see Koch brothers come out and throw their teabagger brethren under the bus. That was a lot of fun when they wrote that letter to the Senate. And said, "Oh, I don't know these guys." It was like,
My favorite part of it was by the time that Republican numbers were completely in the tank.
Yeah.
They were down to blaming Ted Cruz for being a secret liberal mole who had wormed his way into the Republican Party to cause them to be stupid.
Yeah, that sounds...
I'm not kidding. It was really said.
That's an interesting take, I must say. But, I just was watching all of this, and it was such an interesting... theater, political theater. I think that Wall Street won this one. I think as soon as they were going to threaten Wall Street, it just fell apart immediately. They give them about 17 days to see if they could make Obama cave to some social spending, but he wouldn't do that because his masters on Wall Street were saying, Hold on. Okay, yet. And it was interesting. I found it very, very. Everybody's been focusing on the puppets, and again, like you mentioned last time, it's like Wall Street won. Wall Street won. Because if we had defaulted, that would have knocked them out of the game.
Well, I don't. We lost. I mean, it was late last week. Sandra had pointed me toward an article from Reuters, an opinion piece, pointing out the fact that a lot of the damage that would have occurred with the default started happening when we started talking about default. There's the fact that a whole bunch of people didn't get paid and got put into extremis, financial extremis. By virtue of the furlough, and meanwhile the pig lickens are sitting there saying, "Well, it's just smaller government. We've been telling you all along it'd be all right. If they just open up these daggum national parks and let our veterans into the national parks, and we'll fund the government piecemeal based on which ones we like and which ones we don't give a damn about. Otherwise it's working just fine."
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't think any of the big players gave a crap about the people that suffered. I mean, that's inconsequential. Those are on the pennies. they were playing the big game, and I just think, you know, it's like those Koch brothers, what, they got $70 billion or something like that?
Something.
All of their buddies, that's about it. Well, a lot of buddies, they had about maybe a couple hundred billion compared to Wall Street, which has, what, $17 trillion, and they can print up another $17 trillion if they need it. They have an infinite amount of money. So there's no way that they would, you know, there's no way anybody could go after Wall Street. I gotta say, though, I'm not down with any of the issues that these people, these teabaggers are into. I'm not down with any of their issues, but I admire them for going up against Wall Street. I gotta say. And it's kind of like
they didn't know they were doing that.
Well, true enough, but I think it was, you know,
if you happen to get run over by a speeding bus, are you going up against the bus company?
You're trying to slow down the bus.
Well, not in my metaphor. You're not. You just happen to not be looking where you're going, and it whack, bus, done. Because ascribing any kind of brains to the teabaggers is a horrible, horrible mistake.
Well, they must get up in the morning, and they must go evacuate and eat when they're hungry.
Right, and most of that can be taken care of by the autonomic nervous system, which is centered in the lizard brain, which we already know they have bigger than usual.
True enough, but I don't know. On some level, I just got to say, I'm not defending them, but it was kind of a populist revolt from the far right.
I'm not disagreeing to be disagreeable, but I don't see it. I mean, there, nothing populist ever happens among the teabaggers, okay? I mean, they were born and bred by Americans for Prosperity, which is Koch Brothers funded, and they don't do any of those things you mentioned a couple of minutes ago without somebody sending them a memo to do it.
Well,
I mean, even Ted Cruz admitted that his phony baloney filibuster was done solely for the purpose of ginning up an email list that he could use when he decides to run for president because God wants him to be president in 2016.
Right.
I mean, there was. Right. I'm all for acknowledging when
appealing. He's appealing to some base that has some brain at some level, and I'm just tending to want to focus. I'm wanting to look up and see what's going on upstairs because I just thought the whole thing was if there was any conflict there, it was between Wall Street and this, you know, club of cranky billionaires that want to turn the country into a feudal.
Well, but wasn't there a third party in this conflict?
Well, there were people.
I mean, what about those of us who actually believe in the idea of government? Because the teabaggers don't. The teabaggers are, I mean, if you look at the vote breakout, when they finally did vote to reopen the government, you'll find that the vast majority of the Repiglicans who voted against reopening the government come from the South. That's not by accident.
We should let them go.
No, I think we should bust our butts to... look. Are you familiar with what Bernie Sanders has just recently gotten done doing? When I was up in Wisconsin last month, he told us that he was getting ready to go on a tour of the Deep South.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Yes, I've heard about that.
And he went down there to talk with people and find out, you know, whether the Deep South is really this monolithic thing that just wants to be done with government. And he's finding out, if I understand correctly, that it isn't. That there are tons and tons of progressive people down there that most of the progressives in the rest, or liberals, or whatever we're calling ourselves, in the rest of the country simply choose to ignore.
Right.
And so we say that Alabama is just a blood-red state. And
Louisiana is a blood red state. And Arkansas is a blood red state. Never mind the fact, and you know, we prove it with this program. And the number of beautiful southern accents you can hear from time to time on this program. We prove, I mean, there are more progressive people in the state of Texas, for all the grief that state gets. There are more progressive people in the state of Texas than there probably are in the entire state of Massachusetts. Just because of the scale, the population scale.
The size of the place. I had a guy that lived here at my house that was from Austin, and he was a hardcore progressive liberal, and he was, this was about 4 years ago, or 3 or 4 years ago. But he was a very, very super nice guy. He's still a Facebook friend, but I know Austin is a stronghold of progressivism, and the people over there, I mean, that's huge. That's such a huge state. They should break it up into five, actually. It would be better. They did. It's either that or, you know, put about 10 of the Midwestern states into one state. And then get two senators.
I can't imagine. I mean, really? Really? You want nine more Ted Cruzes?
Well, you wouldn't necessarily have nine more. It's broken up by population. In our county, it could be two states. They have about five area codes there for their phone. So, you know, considering the population down there, or New York City, New York metro area, it'd be three states. They broke it down. If they broke down the whole country by population,
that's a sort of balkanization, isn't it, though?
I don't know. But we got to get money out of politics, or it's just going to be more of this kind of foolishness. I'm just.
Well, first we have to get. I agree, Dave. But first thing we got to do is we've got to get people into office who are willing to get the money out of politics.
Yeah.
Because we can't bomb the money out of politics. We can't shoot the money out of politics. We can't march the money out of politics. We can't strike the money out of politics. The only people who are going to take the money out of politics are the people that we elect to go and be politicians.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a circular problem. It's very easy. I mean, I think anybody with a functioning brain can agree that we need to get the dirty money out of politics. But the rubber hits the road when you ask, and how do we do that?
I don't know. Maybe the Tea Party could help us. I don't know. They seem like a Frankenstein monster that was created by big money. But
they are the right wing's Frankenstein monster. More appropriately, and I think we talked about this on the program at some point, they are more like the old legend of the golem. This 9 foot tall beast made out of clay. That you can create but not control. If you want to use the Frankenstein metaphor, then we have to remember the lesson of Mary Shelley's book. And that is, you know, the monster was not the creature. The monster was Dr. Frankenstein. Okay? For doing what he did in the first place.
Exactly.
And to that end, if you want to use the Frankenstein metaphor, then the Koch brothers are the Dr. Frankenstein. Edelman is it? The casino billionaire. Huh?
Joey?
Yeah. He's one of them. And all of these billionaire funders, Art Pope in North Carolina, they're the Frankensteins in this.
Pete Peterson?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the rogues gallery on this.
These guys it's like Ike said, these guys are very, very small in number and very, very stupid. They're stupid people. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They could never govern a nation. And
how stupid are they? I mean, they came very close to beginning to absolutely dismantle the form of government which has stood in this country for something like 237 years.
that's what they want to do, but I don't think they'll be able to do it.
For 230.
Like I say, Wall Street is for the status quo, and there's no. I think it. They might have a couple of hundred billion between all of them, or maybe some. I don't know what they have, but compared to Wall Street, I think. Imagine you were going into a card game and you had $1,700, and the guys coming against you had 200. Who's going to win it? You're going to double down twice and break the bank. You're going to get destroyed by that. Wall Street could shut out the lights. If Wall Street wanted, they could turn us all into renewable energy tomorrow, and because they control the government, they absolutely control the government, and Obama is their best agent, I believe. And there's just no way that you know. As I said before in the past, Obama's is down with Wall Street. There's no way that he's invincible when he's got them behind him. There's no way that anybody, Sheldon Nelson or the Koch brothers or any one of these other one of these jokers on their own or together, they're not that. I don't know that they're that cohesive as a unit.
But how can you talk about
what they want?
How can you talk about the Koch brothers and Wall Street as if they're separate entities? It's not like the Koch brothers are trading on a different market.
No, but the Wall Street owns the bank. Koch brothers got their money in the bank. I think that if it was a choice if there was a dispute between the two, Wall Street would win. And that's what I saw the whole shutdown myself. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just deluding myself here. But I thought it was down to like the minute that Wall Street was really threatened with a shutdown and a default or another shutdown was nothing. But the default would have been huge. That was an ominous. That was an ominous threat to the very survival, and that had to end fast. They weren't going to put up with that shit. There's no way that could happen. They would not permit it. And if it was the Koch brothers versus Wall Street, which that's the way I saw it, I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong. But if that's what it was, Wall Street won, Koch brothers zero.
Well, and see, I saw it.
However many people got hurt, that's you know, collateral damage to the, you know, to the gardening or something. That's nothing to them. It's all about, you know, the big money forces going at it. I don't know. Maybe they all had to do with Ted Cruz. And I think he's just a.
I get the sense that you don't want to ponder the possibility of this, but maybe this was a little Fort Sumter. I've been saying for over a year now that we are in the midst of a cold civil war.
Oh, well, Al Gore said that 5 years ago, whenever it was. He said it years ago. It's been a cold civil war for the last 30 years. Reagan declared it, and Newt, you know, was the second general in the Army, and that's going on and on. But I don't know. I tend to just feel like it's like all of that, all this stuff on the ground of you and me and all the other little people is all just diversion and distraction from what's really going on, which is a power play for the entire control of the country. And again, they could crush Ted Cruz like a flea if they so chose.
Okay,
as long as they serve his purposes.
Then Dave, tell me, based upon your understanding, what the America Wall Street wants looks like.
The America Wall Street wants is maximum profits for the banks and fuck anybody else. That's pretty simple. Isn't that
okay? Now tell me what the America that the teabaggers want looks like.
Dominionist, whatever you call it, dominionist. Dictatorship and you know, everyone bows to Christ, I guess. I think they have an unrealistic view of
but teabaggers holler about job-killing regulations. I mean, the queen of the teabaggers is either Michelle Bachmann or Sarah Palin, and they both talk
Come on.
No. Well, yeah, they're all morons. I mean, it's Morion Monday.
Sure.
They're all Morions, but that doesn't mean that they can't articulate a vision of what they want for this country. And they talk about deregulation. Well, Wall Street likes deregulation. They talk about drill, baby, drill. Wall Street talks about drill, baby, drill. Most of their desires are dovetail with one another. That's why I say that I think you're seeing a dichotomy there that isn't there. The dichotomy is between those of us who believe in somewhat enlightened self-government and those who believe in a sort of Ayn Rand-esque capitalism run wild Somalia with functioning cable economic system. That's the dichotomy.
I understand. I can relate to your point of view. I just believe that all of the stuff between Michelle Bachmann and anybody else and you and me and the rest of the world is all just diversion and distraction. And while they do the destruction, while they suck all of our money out from you and me and the whole teabagging community.
Well, I just have to beg to differ on that. They're not kidding when they talk about drowning government in a bathtub. They're not kidding when they talk about small government. They really aim to destroy government. You know, you've got Dr. Bill did a brilliant deconstruction of Mark Levin's proposed constitutional amendments, which includes things like enshrining as an amendment to the Constitution the concept of nullification, where anything that the Congress does, any single state legislature can say, we don't want to do it in our state. Okay? Those are moves toward, and it's easy to look at them and say, oh, what a bunch of buffoons. But you know what? There are too many times in human history when somebody has been seen as a buffoon and has turned out to be someone who winds up leading an entire nation straight to hell. And so we laugh at them and dismiss them as a bunch of rubes and fools at our peril. Sure, I have fun with them, Dave. I have fun with them. I point out their bad spelling and stuff, but you know what? I take them at their word. They want to destroy the United States of America.
They're never going to do it, though. They're never going to make it.
Never say never.
I don't. They're not as long as Wall Street and the political elite and the police state, which supports them, is intact. And that's, I don't see that going anywhere. I mean, no trucker or no gun nut or no Dominionist is going to take over this nation as long as there's the Wall Street and the political elite and the police state below them. That's just not going to happen. It's a joke. I'm not laughing at them. I'm just because they just got their, you know, perverse populist point of view. But I think that as long as we have that, you know, the oligarchs and the political elite, the oligarchs on Wall Street, political elite below them, and the police state below that, keeping everybody in line. There's no one's going to pull any shit.
Well, remember this. Just got a note from Jan and Jerry out in Nevada. Bear this in mind, Dave. The Koch brothers made a ton of money on the shutdown.
They did. How was that?
I
just want to understand. I don't know how they did it. But
because everything they're tied up in is tied up in everything we do. You know, they're into oil. They own Kimberly-Clark paper products. There was nothing that had an adverse impact on them.
I thought oil went. I thought oil consumption went down during the slowdown. I don't know.
Consumption schmumption. It's a world market. It's the spot market price.
Right, but there's an X amount of consumption, so if they're selling less, no matter what the price is, they're making less than they could make if there was consumption was higher. Does that make sense?
Oh, I understand. I understand what you're saying, but I've already. I'm sitting here.
thinking it through?
No, I'm sitting here looking it through.
I don't know the statistics. I'm always wanting more education myself.
Well, they, among other things, you know, it was the Koch brothers who finally said, "Oh no, wait." We don't want the government shut down. At which point
the letter to the Senate, yeah,
right.
They don't want that
because, and that's why I'm saying you're seeing a false dichotomy. There's not Wall Street or the Koch brothers; it's the Koch brothers and Wall Street.
Right. Well, I think the Koch brothers did want it, but then they threw their friends under the bus because what they want is like a libertarian. You know, democracy for them.
Right, and how would Wall Street not be absolutely in love with one of those libertarian wasteland wonderland scenarios?
It would knock Wall Street out of the kingpin role as the U.S. the Chinese were starting to get really pissed about all this because they've got a lot of our debt, and they were saying this is enough. What we need to do maybe is just to replace the dollar as the world currency, and let's say fuck them. And that's when Wall Street said, wait a minute. And then the Koch brothers come out and say, oh, well, we don't want to shut down the government. And I think Wall Street wants the government to operate in service of them. They don't want it to go away, because if it went away, it's dog eat dog world. And Wall Street's not going to be on top anymore. They're on top now. They're the kings of the world. They own the world. Now the problem is turning it into a libertarian paradise. That's where they're coming with the problem.
And a government that has been shattered into a million pieces is much easier to own and control. And shattering the government was part and parcel of what the teabaggers set out to do.
But that's not But that's not what Wall Street wanted, or it would have happened. It would have happened if that's what Wall Street wanted.
I think you're ascribing more power to this situation than Wall Street merits. I really do. Sadly, the only way to find out who's right and who's wrong is to continue to watch this scenario play out, because it isn't over.
Okay, well, if I had a kind of a theory when we went into this that I was hoping would happen, which did happen, which the government shutdown stopped and the teabaggers were crushed. This is like the Rome purge in the Nazi Germany or something. You know, they're going to do away with these people if that's what they want to do, if it serves them correctly. The Chamber of Commerce came out against these teabagger, whatever they are, these people in Congress who are the teabaggers, and they said they're going to support people to primary them out. So now it's going to be the primaries, the Republican primaries are going to be Wall Street versus the teabaggers, and who's got more money is going to win. That's the way I see it going to happen. That's where I think it's going to come down. But I could be wrong about that, but from so far, I think my predictions, my hopes, I should say, I was hoping that it would come out this way because I don't want to see the teabaggers and the Dominionists win. Although they're populist. It's a populist movement.
No, it isn't.
I think it's a Frankenstein-created movement. It was financed by these idiots, but they don't know what the hell they're doing. The Koch brothers are idiots. They learn nothing on their own. They got all of their money from their daddy, and they've got this set of beliefs that are completely stupid and erroneous. And that's what they did was they said, "Oh, we'll create the Tea Party," but then they've taken a life of their own. And you disparage these members of Congress who are in the Tea Party, which they look like fools, but they're just average Southern boys. You know, they're just they're the very people. They're these.
Well, Michelle Bachmann and Steve King are neither average nor Southern.
Yeah, she's a goddamn idiot, but there's a lot of goddamn idiots in this country, too. You got to admit.
I'm trying to think of the guy's name. there's a teabagger that represents northern Wisconsin, not Southern. Just to say that this is a Southern thing, Dave, is to kind of miss the point.
I'm just saying in the whole country, the whole country, there's a lot of idiots in this country, and there's a lot of areas where there's a high concentration of them. That's how these people get elected. But on some level, they had a voice with all of the money that was thrown their way, but they appealed to people on a personal level the same way Bush did. Like, they appealed to really stupid people who thought, wow, yeah, you know. Anybody can be president. Anybody can go to Congress, you know, and instead of electing intelligent people like any intelligent person would want to do, you do want to have intelligent people running your country, but these people are not intelligent. So, you know, on some level, all people are created equal. That's what this Constitution says, at least. They all have equal rights, and they have a right to vote.
Everybody. Actually, the Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal.
That's true. Okay, I see. See, that shows my ignorance. But that was an ideal set out by the founding fathers.
And rapidly abandoned by the framers of the Constitution.
Right, because they set manhood suffrage and property suffrage and all that. But point is that we're working toward a more perfect union here.
Some of us are, Dave. Some of us are. You are. I am. The Horn Family Commune is.
Yeah. So some of us want to.
But some of us are more concerned about our guns than we are about whether or not our community can continue to survive. You know, they're sitting there with all their guns and their thousands of rounds of ammunition that they bought, you know, instead of food or whatever. And they're waiting for the apocalypse, you know, the apocalyptic revolution, and everything's going to collapse, and nobody's going to have any food or guns but them.
Right. Well, maybe it will for them. But I just believe that I think that these people just need a little more education. They need to be enlightened a little bit. They listen to too much Fox News. That stuff is so good.
And I don't see Fox turning the lights out anytime soon.
No, probably not.
I know that you try to look for optimistic solutions, but I am one of those people, I'm all for that. But I think that, you know, I think that ascribing any kind of goodwill to the teabaggers is a horrible mistake that leads to nothing but grief. They're not. You can't work with them.
Here's the thing.
They don't have the mentality or the disposition to work with us. Okay, it's not that we can't work with them because we refuse to work with them. You can't work with them because they refuse to work with us.
I just think this is what I think. I think that focusing on them is missing the point. We got to focus on the people that are on the top, because all those people on the top, they have so much money. They have so much money locked up in overseas. If that money were here in the United States for use of the people of the United States, of all the people, whether they're teabaggers or not, Or all of us, it would alleviate poverty. Everybody would be living in prosperity. It's just like these people on the top have a obsessive sickness with accumulating more and more and more and more and more and more, to the point where they've impoverished all of us, and they can never spend all the money that they have. This is crazy. You know, the Tea Party could do us a big favor by just, you know, all the votes they have, 400 of them would solve all of our problems. That's the way I see it.
All right, well, Dave, you have yourself a good evening. I'm glad you called. It was a good conversation.
Take care.
Bye now. And let's keep things rolling here Oh, by the way, thanks to Sal, who stepped in, we are now at $210 to go for the evening's fundraising. And it is much appreciated, Sal. We really appreciate you being there every night. Thank you very much. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hey, Jim.
How are you?
Getting along, I think.
Very good.
Nice to, it's nice to have what appear to be fully functioning phones again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm in horizontal lab, and Jamie Lee Curtis is doing the scream queen for the original Halloween, so that's what's going on here. But nonetheless, you know, going back to, there are just a couple things. You know, as far as the dismantling of government is concerned, yeah, these people don't want to have any type of government that will give them any type of resistance. I mean, for example, look at Germany in both world wars. I mean, have you ever heard of the Fritz Fischer thesis?
I'm not sure.
Basically, it states the German business community had a great deal to do, more so than the German military, in starting World War One. It was, you know, most people contribute that to the Kaiser and the army and this, that, and the other, but it wasn't, they weren't the main people who wanted war. It was the German business community. And look what the German business community did for Adolf Hitler in the run-up to the Second World War.
Well, sure.
And look at how Switzerland helped him also financially by laundering so much money.
You know, I saw a news story today that one of the, and this is just out of left field, Jim, that one of the world's leading pizza makers has now, a food company, has acknowledged its role in profiteering off of the Holocaust.
Well, there are a bunch of things that are coming out now. I mean, that were sort of suppressed after World War II ended, in which a lot of people were not brought to account for doing business with the Nazis. But it was, you know, it was a profitable thing to do. I mean, you know, Hitler needed the money. He had the resources he'd stolen in terms of gold and art paintings and or whatever, sculpture, and, you know, and they laundered them through a lot of people to provide money for the German war machine. You know, and as far as depending on Wall Street to do anything to help you, Wall Street will support anybody who supports them. And they don't want a strong government, because strong government means regulation.
And regulation means Kenyan Muslim socialism, right?
Well, that's basically how they feel about it. I saw this fool changing the subject. This guy is a physician, and he is a representative from the 10th Congressional District in Georgia. Have you heard this fool?
Name?
I can't remember his name.
It's
a doctor.
Oh, Dr. Paul Brown?
I don't know, but
the guy who said all science is lies from the pits of hell?
Yeah, and who is a lobbyist for the safaris and stuff like that in Africa?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Oh yeah, he's got a huge lion in his office that's been stuffed. And when he made his thing on TV, there must have been 20 deer heads behind him. And this guy was talking about all the stuff that he learned in medical school was just a bunch of lies, and that the world was created in 6 days.
That's our boy, it sounds like.
Oh, Lord, I couldn't believe it. I said, this guy actually got an MD degree? I couldn't believe it.
Oh, and not only has he got a stuffed lion, Jim, he has bragged about having eaten lion.
Well, he can eat shit, as far as I'm
and bark at the moon. Yeah, I'll join you on that.
I mean, well, I couldn't believe this idiot was in Congress, but I mean, the trouble is, we've got so many people up there who have been elected who have no grounding whatsoever in civics or of government or whatever, and somehow they get selected and get bought into their office and vote so crazily, and that's, you know, really it's going to be the downfall of this country when you have a confederacy of dunces. And that's what I call the teabaggers for the Tea Party. I mean, they are a confederacy of dunces. but they're dangerous people. I mean, a lot of people laughed at the Brown Church, and they laughed at Hitler when he was doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And they said, oh, he'll be swept into the dustbin of history. Guess what? He was elected.
Some dustbin.
Yeah, some dustbin. In 1932, they said, oh, he'll be gone. In January of 1933, he was Reich Chancellor. In 1934, he was the head of state, the Führer. And, you know, the government voted itself out of existence with the Enabling Act. Remember what the Reichstag did? And that's how Adolf became, well, the leader of Germany. And
yeah, the butcher of millions.
50 million or who knows. But, I mean, you know, you can't laugh at these people because you must take them.
No, they say a lot of stupid stuff, Jim, that you can't help but snicker at, and that's part of the fun of Maureen Monday. But I never laugh at them without understanding at the same time how absolutely dangerous they are.
I would no more laugh at these people or minimize their effect than I would a king cobra 10 feet away from me. And that's the truth.
Well, there's no doubt that they're damn dangerous. I mean, that gang of hooligans that Alex Jones whipped into a frenzy in San Antonio over the weekend, if one person had come up to them and said, because remember, their gun rally was, come and take it, San Antonio. They were trying to provoke a confrontation with the police. And the police simply stood down and said, well, carry your damn guns. What the hell? Why not?
Well, I would take it very, very beaten right if they were to have had a circular firing squad with their guns. It certainly has solved a lot of problems. But, I mean, you know, that whole thing with Alex Jones and what he was going on about, I mean, I don't know how he functions from day to day, the way he, and the lies that he was telling. But that's the thing. These were big lies he was telling, okay, to the people in his audience. And remember...
Yeah, you mean big lies like Barack Obama is a Kenyan Muslim?
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, the thing about it is, if you're going to lie, don't tell a little lie now.
No, tell the whopper, and tell it a million times.
Exactly. And
I mean, and because you know what happens when you tell it a million times, Jim?
It sinks in, and people accept its veracity.
And more particularly, just looking at my own experience, if you tell that big lie enough, sooner or later you're sitting there going over your medical history with an intake nurse in a little clinic in a little town, and she gets disgusted and looks at you and says, you know Obama's a Muslim.
Well, you know, their propaganda comes straight from Dr. Goebbels' ministry and his tactics, because he's the one who propagated the theory of telling the big lie.
Well, you've gotten two pieces of fan mail here, Jim. Beth in Texas says, I'm with Jim. I don't laugh at King Cobras either. And Bill in Cleveland says, Jim's on tonight.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your kind words. But, I mean, I have looked at history. I've studied history as my main, you know, thing. And I have seen so many of these so-called minority parties and stuff that people just didn't take seriously. And given economic times and downfalls and depressions, you have the man who has the unusual solution coming to power and who promises you everything in the world. And of course, he's propelled by fellow Confederates who propagate the big lie and to destroy, you know, not only government, but also civilization. I mean, I always use Germany as my metric for
sure.
The states are always. Because
well, and I realize that, and we're running out of time, Jim, but I want, you know, I made an observation over the weekend that anybody who wants, and I'm using just current, you know, current events as my point of departure here,
when you think about it, these people who say that they want everybody to go around carrying a gun, they don't want much in the way of a civilization, do they?
No, they don't.
I mean, can you imagine having to strap a hog leg on to go to the ballet or the opera?
No.
Or the movie theater? You know, guns in the dark. Those are three examples where guns in the dark are never a good idea.
You know, I will say this, and I'm going to get off here because we are running out of time. Whenever these people like Ted Cruz and all these teabaggers start talking, these people speak antonymically. You know, whatever they say basically is an antonym. Whatever they say, take and believe the exact opposite, and you'll be closer to the truth than you could ever be.
I think you're absolutely right. Jim, have a good evening.
Likewise.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
You really can't beat working telephones for conversation radio. So I'll thank you all very kindly. Thus, we end Moran Monday on the Horn. Titanic Tuesday comes around tomorrow. We'll be here. Looking forward to it. And, hey, between now and airtime tomorrow, only 21 folks at $10 to get us to even before the mic goes hot on Tuesday. So thanks, everybody. Thanks so very, very much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox and Ben Birch. And a program reminder, Dr. Bill will be at his regular time, 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, and then on Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. He has a meeting to attend Wednesday evening like he did today. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net and acheact.org, acheact.org, acheact.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you. Rick Smith is next on the Horn.